plan?
Rana, you know, we don't go into this area a lot except when we need to.
That's exactly right.
Because this one is wild.
And it applies to everyone. And to be honest, it's a nonpartisan issue.
Completely.
The only thing we're talking about here is making sure that everybody who wants to vote in the way that they want to vote has the opportunity to do so.
And not to mention, people aren't getting their medications. You know what I mean? Like, it's affecting, or their paychecks. It's affecting everything.
And
so
it's such a fundamental basic service that every American deserves, whether it's an election year or it isn't an election year. And what we're talking about, of course, is funding for the United States Postal Service.
I have felt so under this thing of just like feeling really powerless in this moment about where to go and what to do. And I think the thing we've found is apwu.org/savepostoffice, which gives you direct links on action you can take, which I believe is mostly just calling your senator because they need their funding as part of a stimulus package. So that seems to be the thing to do, but
that's the American Postal Workers Union. That's their website. So that's the information that they're putting out that's in their own best interests. And there's a whole bunch of resources telling you how to get in touch with your senators, et cetera, and your other reps for funding. But the key thing here is that we need to fund the Postal Service so that people can get their medications, especially at a time like this. People can get letters from their loved ones, whatever it is that they need, but also that they can get their ballots, that we can get the ballots back, on time, that your vote, whatever it may be, is counted, and that we can ensure a safe and fair election. And that goes for everybody.
And you know, Rana, just to finish this, there was actually something I thought of. Because you remember how you said that you weren't sure if your Venmo was working about the tomatoes? Maybe you've tried to mail a check and I haven't gotten it, even though I just live in the back house. What's so funny?
Okay.
All right.
You know what, Brian? Maybe that's what happened.
Okay. Well, then now I don't blame you.
Maybe that's what happened.
Okay.
But in any event, it's very rare that we do this kind of call to action. But really, it's a nonpartisan issue. It's just a question of fairness.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure everybody has the right to have their voice counted. And as you're saying, essential services.
Completely.
That are the absolute given right in any nation,
society,
but certainly in a developed nation like us. So,
apwu.org/savepostoffice.
Brian.
Rana, I have to tell you something.
Okay, just go. All I can say is go. Just go.
I can't be held accountable for my brain today.
What happened? Too much tequila smashes?
No, that sounds delightful. No, much worse. Not terrible. I have a sinus. My head is a balloon, and I've taken some cold and sinus medication. I don't have a cold, though. Do you know they have Advil allergy and sinus?
Yeah, of course I know that.
I didn't know that. I had to go
behind. My favorite is the Tylenol allergy and sinus, actually.
Really?
Yeah. But
Rana,
I actually think
you slipped me one of those once, and you gave it to me with a glass of wine.
Well, was it you were having a sinus headache?
I think you literally said, you didn't slip it. You gave me the Tylenol and you said, have it with a glass of wine. That's what you said.
And how did you feel afterwards?
The best time. it kicked everything up from like, I don't feel so great to like me screaming, basically.
Well, that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
You screaming at a function is a good sign because it means you're having a good time.
I should have taken this with wine, except it's sort of early. Otherwise, I would have. But I do want to thank.
It is sort of early.
I'd like to publicly thank Jadwina because I can't do that sinus rinse by myself. It makes me too nervous. So she's been doing it for me. She's been pumping up the fluid.
Wait a minute. What?
No, I'm just saying.
You're doing a neti pot with Jadwina?
Well, technically, it's a, like a Neti Medical or Neti. It's some kind of Neti pod. I can't remember the exact name. NeoMed? I don't remember. Yeah.
Yes, I know the one.
You know which one I mean.
Are you using the bottle or are you using the bottle?
Not the teapot.
Why not do a Flonase or something like that?
Well, because I'll be honest with you, this was a little cheaper, and I thought maybe I would just start doing it daily to avoid any sinus pressure, but yeah. I'm too scared to do it. I don't like putting things in my nose, and except like in college, obviously, for like a year. But Yadvina has
really... Let's tell that story. Which year?
I think it was my junior year.
And what did you tell your parents you were spending the money on? Books?
Oh, God, good question. I think I was actually working full-time, so it was technically my money.
Were you a waiter?
No, at that point, I were. Oh, my God. I cannot so believe funny. I'm about to tell you where
so
I worked.
So funny. I can't wait.
I haven't thought of this in so long. Are you ready?
I can't wait.
Gap Kids. It was my sophomore year. My junior year I started waitering.
I'm astonished.
They wouldn't hire me at the regular Gap, so they sent me to Gap Kids.
I'm actually astonished. Gap Kids were in Union Square?
One time I fainted in there. Yeah, no, the one on like 5th Avenue and like 22nd or something.
One time you fainted in there. Of course you did. What happened that you fainted?
I can't remember exactly, except it was the day
it
that
had
like,
to be 6th Avenue.
It was 5th Avenue, Rana. It was like really? Right by where Emporio Armani, you know where that is? On like 5th and like 20th or 18th maybe.
Okay.
Like right where Mesa Grill used to be.
Okay.
Like right around there.
Can't even handle this.
Gap Kids. And I would have to answer the phone. Thank you for calling Gap Kids Baby Gap. This is Brian. How can I help you? And
did you have keys to anything?
No, I wasn't
like
that high up.
Like the register or a door, dress change. Do they have changing rooms in a Baby Gap?
They did have changing rooms. I think they might have been, because the Gap was like next door, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was all one big thing, but I like wasn't good enough to work there. So.
Oh my God, it's so funny. And so would you be like, well, we have these in a 6X, or I can see if I can find them for you in a 4.
Yeah. And I remember one lady, several, got being mad, being like, how is this a 2T? And I was like, I don't know.
How is this a 2T? Now, does it help you when you're buying clothes for Lillian and Alice, your experience as a Gap Kids salesman?
Mm-mm. No, it didn't.
Can you eyeball a child? When you look at one, do you think, that's a 4T, that's a 6.
No.
That's a 6X.
I can only eyeball that it is a child.
Because children's sizes are very confusing, I think.
They do seem confusing. And also, like, I don't know. I usually just ask my sister-in-law, like, can you point me to a website you like?
Yeah.
And I usually veer away from clothing because I feel like that's always the trickiest.
Yeah.
So I try to do a stuffed animal or a toy or something like that.
Yeah, jelly cat, a little jelly cat.
Exactly. I go that direction. But I fainted it in there because I remember that it was a really big deal because like Gap Corporate was coming. And so they were like, Brian, we trust you. You're going to be the greeter at the door. And they come in undercover. They're like, you're going to be the greeter at the door. And about 20 minutes in, I just collapsed.
The Southern genes are strong in you.
I'm going to be honest, because of the vapors.
You think they're not, but you become overcome, and you have episodes, and you fainted in a Baby Gap. It's so funny.
Oh my God. I've never even told anyone on Throwing Shade I worked at Gap Kids. I don't know how. I have literally blocked that entire part of my life out. But anyway, it was during the Gap Kids year that I tried Coke a couple times, if we're going to get to it.
Oh, it's so funny. And where would you go? Would you just go to bars and things? Where did kids at NYU go when you were there?
No, I mean, it was such a, like, it was really more drugs than booze there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there would be booze at some things, but no, I mean, I don't think I ever had a fake ID or anything.
And you would just walk around the city?
And a lot of the gay, yes.
But had apartments.
Both. Yeah. Both. But a lot of the like gay clubs there, you could be 18 and go. They would just put something around your wrist.
Sure, because they're more drug clubs than drinking clubs.
So exactly. And then we just used to sneak in like alcohol, like in our pants or something.
So funny.
It's so gross.
God.
Oh. I don't miss those days.
Oh, it feels, it does feel dirty. It feels like everyone needed a shower. But that's New York.
That's New York. I could never in a million years do it now. And I guess some of those things I look fondly on, but like, I don't miss it, you know, in that way.
Oh, that is so funny. Yep, kids.
Anyway, Yadvina, I wanted just to thank for the
what's thanks, going thanks on with the sinus infection or allergies?
I don't know. It's out of nowhere. And I just started, you know, freaking out because I didn't, you know, I think when everyone gets a hint of something's off now.
Oh, you were worried you were sick.
You just go to the worst. And I didn't want to get you involved. And so I did ask Yadvina. I was like, she's got to have some antibiotics in there. There's no way she doesn't. I know she's stockpiling something. But she didn't. She said that you didn't have any that she could see. And that also she wasn't going to go through your medicine cabinet because that just isn't like her to do that. And I said, well, whatever. And so finally, we came to the decision. I was like, if you're not going to steal for me, you're going to have to do the rinse for me. So she did. I see.
So you're doing a daily rinse. Do you think it's helping?
Unclear.
Or you've just started in the past week.
Just started yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, that actually is very helpful, I have to say. And there is a, there's one that is electric, so to speak. So that you don't have to do the squeeze bottle and it sort of shoots the water up there.
It just like pumps it in.
Yeah. But really the truth is you don't necessarily need that whole thing. What you want, what you can do is you can get one of those spray bottles. It could be a Flonase or it could be as simple as a saline rinse.
Sure.
You put it in your nasal cavity and you sort of, you just let it, instead of, because sometimes what people do is they get too aggressive with the squirt.
Right.
And what that can do is cause inflammation in the sinus cavity. And that just doesn't feel good. It feels like swimming and getting water up your nose, basically.
Right.
But what you do is you sort of fill up the nasal cavity and you hold it in, sort of relax for about 30 seconds or so. And then let it out, you know, the other side or whatever it is. And
I'll let her know that.
And that does a nice job. Yeah.
Well, you I could thought let maybe I would start
her
getting
know so she could let you know that you could be doing it yourself. But you sort of want to fill the cavity and lay back on, maybe sit on your bed for a minute or two and then release it. That's what
I did. You know that marker can come off, they say, mirror pretty easily. So I wrote down the steps on the mirror like they did in the 80s with lipstick, except I did like a
fun.
A Sharpie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she knows what to do now.
Okay. Well, I'm so grateful that we're finding uses for Yadvina during quarantine. Other uses for
she's been
Yadvina.
Great. She really is, Ron. I have to tell you, she's a really good person. And I think you should probably give her a raise.
Well, we could talk about your car and taking part of the stipend for your car and putting that towards Yadvina if you'd like to. Or if you'd like, you could personally pay for all the extra work that you're making her do that really doesn't have anything to do with me.
I have to be honest. I think she's probably just fine. I just wanted to say that so other people would think I was generous.
And now they know you are. Speaking exactly. of being generous, I was very impressed with my own generosity this week because people on the Patreon already know this, but people on the free feed don't, because what really tends to happen is, and if people aren't with us on Patreon, I mean, look, that's up to them. They can live their lives any way they want to.
That's true.
Are they missing out on the book club? Are they missing out on the Quarantine International Film Festival?
Are they missing out on double the John Gabris last week?
Are they missing out on you and me and John Gabris having an absolute wild time talking about Terminator 2?
It really was fun.
Jaws. It was a terrific episode.
It was.
But the other thing they're missing out on is exclusives.
Yeah.
And Brian has a tendency to debut things on Patreon, whether it's his body parts or his artistic endeavors. Apparently he's been working on, I don't know, some sort of an ad campaign with
my commercial work.
Yes,
that's right, Ronna. Yes. Good to call it an ad campaign.
Your ad campaign, which featured prominently, your reel featured very heavily in the ad campaign. And so you did your own version, let's say. Well, people know about, because of the Kiki, they know about the first version of the Lobsterman's commercial for Harry's home-delivered lobsters.
That's right, which was missing a crucial element.
You.
Me.
Yeah. Yes. So Brian did his own cut, as we say in Hollywood.
Yes, I did.
And we put that up on the Patreon. We haven't released it to the free feed. I'm going to put it up on the YouTube so that they can see it.
Okay.
But more importantly,
I was going to say,
we can play it at the end of this episode.
Well, that's fine. But I just want to make sure, Rana, that people understand that the commercial is perfect, but that's not how we're making our money just yet.
Yes. I was going to say the business model seems to have changed.
It's changed a little. We're definitely
From lobsters to pre-lobsters.
That's right. The ultimate goal I want to say to people is for the lobster delivery service to deliver lobsters.
Right. But before they can actually get the capital to get the lobsters and the delivery service off the ground. And you have to admire Harry for being so ambitious, I have to say.
He is really ambitious.
It's really more of a lobster t-shirt business right now than a lobster business.
Well, right now, and you know, we had to change the shirts because at first it was like, I love Harry. I loved the lobster I ate at Harry's. We can't do those anymore. So right now it's just that adorable logo that Oscar made of his Aunt Oscar.
Well, I heard there's some dispute in the family that he told you that the aunt made it, but it turned out the nephew made it.
Nephew made it. And I said, well, you told me your aunt who's locked up made it. And he said, and now you're telling me your nephew named Oscar?
Well, and I criticized her because I said it looked like a child's drawing and you told me she had arthritis and it was there's a lot going on in Winthrop.
But now he's saying it's the nephew whose name is Oscar. And I said, so wait, is it the nephew or the aunt? And then he just looked at me really wide-eyed and said, Aunt Oscar. Like someone would say Mrs. Doubtfire. So now I don't know.
Right. In the way that he said, I have a lobster business. And it turned out he didn't have a business or a boat or even a lobster that you've seen. But he does have a t-shirt business now.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd get to that. He does have a t-shirt business. I would love, love, love any support we could get to maybe one day feed a lobster, catch it, and then send it.
I have to say that. So we debuted on Patreon the lobster t-shirt. So the people on Patreon are already able to buy them. Now they are available for the general public. But I have to say, this is my hot tip.
Yeah.
Because what I did, I assume he's giving you one, but I ordered you a couple of these t-shirts because I wanted to be generous.
You know I love a tee.
And support the business.
Yes.
Now, this logo on these t-shirts, what you see when you go to the page is a white t-shirt with the Harry's Home Delivered Lobsters.
Sure.
And the page is what? Tee Public.
TeePublic.com/stoa or store.
Stores, I think.
Stores, you're right. It's stores. /AskRana. So again, yes. TeePublic.com/stores/AskRana.
So again, using my magnanimous
generosity.
Like that would just
be, well,
yeah.
Technically more people know you than
really
they know him.
It's not really an AskRana product.
But that was the best. Yeah. Rana,
Under the auspices.
Yeah, because we had more of a reach through you than we did through him.
What I noticed is they have the plain white t-shirt, but then they have a t-shirt. This thing about Tee Public is you can put it on whatever
any color,
you want.
Yeah, on a hoodie, on a this.
But they have a thing called a ringer tee.
Yes, of course.
R-I-N-G-E-R.
Yeah.
Which is white with either a red collar and red arms or navy blue collar, navy blue arms. I ordered you both because I thought they were so cute. And they look like they're right out of Jaws on Martha's Vineyard. They're some sort of a fabulous 70s looking t-shirt.
Oh, they're so good. It says Harry's Home Delivered Lobsters, and it's just a very 70s looking lobster.
And that is my hot tip to people, is to order the ringer shirt. Because that to me was the best looking shirt.
It's very New England looking.
Yeah, I loved it.
Really?
I have to say. Well, I mean, within the world of what we're talking about, that was my favorite.
Well, Rana, this is great. This transitions into my next thing, which we need to get you in one of those ringer t-shirts and you do the next ad.
No.
What?
I think we're done with the ads, you and I.
Well, that's fine, but if you wanted to shoot one.
I look forward to, maybe you could run it on Throwing Shade. That would be a thing. You know, maybe you could, it seems like that business is a bigger business, maybe.
No, but I have to tell you,
Harry
doesn't.
Maybe
he does not like Throwing Shade. He does not like it.
Well, he's not ready for Throwing Shade.
And by the way, Rana, he doesn't even like this one.
I mean, he's still married. Oh, he doesn't like this show? Well, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, this must be listening to somebody speak German to him when I'm talking about Santa Maria Novella, mosquito repellent, and taking trips to, you know.
And then he tried to go to Ace Hardware to find some of that stuff, and he couldn't find any of it.
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know. From your lips to Harry's ears, I suppose. Or whatever that means. That sounded very alluring.
It did.
I have to say, the effects of the COVID kiki are still being felt.
We're still getting those residuals, Rana.
And what I have to say, I've really been enjoying, as much as people enjoy that we share with them what we are doing during quarantine, et cetera, et cetera.
It's being reciprocated.
I love the tips that we're getting from people. And I love hearing, because there's a few things that I think, huh. In fact, one person wrote in the other day, it was so funny, it was as though she read my mind. And I mean, the truth is I probably wouldn't do what she did, but I loved getting the tip anyway.
I bet.
So Felicia wrote to us and sent us a picture of her giant chip witch after she had just completed putting the mini chips all over it. And she said,
there were a few Chipwich questions and comments.
Yeah.
People very curious.
A lot of confusion between the Chipwich and the Chili Witch, who, by the way, was still accepting Chili Witches.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think what we're going to do is Brian and I are going to do a little segment. We're going to go through every one of those Chili Witches, and we're going to tell you exactly what we think of them.
That will be fun, like Project Runway.
That's right. And then if there's a second round of Chili Witches after that, we'll say.
That's fine.
Dear Ron O'Brien and ever illustrious guest. Well, there's no one here right now.
Yeah.
I loved the carriage house. Kiki was just overwhelmed by all the great suggestions, recipes, products he suggested. One thing that stuck with me to the point of obsession was the giant chipwich that has been residing in Ron's freezer for weeks now. I knew immediately that this chipwich needed to be part of our family crabs and spaghetti extravaganza.
That sounds fucking fantastic. Sorry for my language.
I truly hope Harry doesn't take offense with that choice of shellfish. Please enjoy the photo of my moment of victory after coating the outside in mini chips. Kiss, kiss, Felicia. And it was a gorgeous picture. And she did look very proud, I have to say.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That mini, that sounds nice and cold and crunchy.
I didn't do mini chips. I don't do mini chips around the edge of mine, but she did, and you're welcome to do whatever you want. You could put a confetti sprinkle around there.
I was going to say you could do a sprinkle. That's a big thing now.
Yeah. Confetti sprinkles look good to me, but they don't. I'm not interested in the taste. But what I was talking about was I happen to be, you know, we've got all this produce because it's that gorgeous time of year, of course. And I had all these strawberries.
Yeah.
And someone named Pam wrote in. She wrote in about something else. And then at the end of her letter, she said, also, not sure if you're still interested in COVID kiki stuff, but the other day I found an excellent use for strawberries that weren't bad, but not as fresh as you'd like to eat on their own.
It happens.
I blended them with some sweetened condensed milk and made them into the most delicious popsicles, which were the perfect summer treat. Excuse me.
Delicious.
Sounds wonderful. I probably wouldn't do it because it might be a little too much sugar for me.
Sure.
But that sounds fabulous. And I tend to keep, so what I'll do, because I feel like I'm swimming in strawberries all the time.
I meant to tell you, Rana, the ones I get are so much bigger than the ones you get. I'm fine to go get you some from the grocery store because they're like double the size of the ones you get.
I don't like big strawberries. I prefer a gaviota strawberry.
Okay, you know. Well, I don't think those are those. But the ones I get are much shinier, frankly, and they're not as dark red, and they're so much bigger.
Yeah, they're the beefsteak tomato of strawberries.
Yes. And the trick is not to buy them organic because then they're bigger.
Yes, yes. I've heard that trick before.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, about not buying organic, I've heard that. I've heard about how much larger genetically modified produce can be when you don't buy organic.
Exactly.
And then was there another one here?
Okay, so Megan says, dear Rana and Brian, while listening to the COVID Kiki this week, it occurred to me that you have provided me with a brand new episode every single week since November. Not one single repeat. I don't know how you do it and hope it brings you as much joy as it does me. I truly can't thank you enough for this wonderful podcast. It is a beacon in this crazy world. Kiss, kiss, Megan.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Truly.
That's really quite nice.
Rana, have you watched the new Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion video?
I have not actually.
Well, you? I would.
What does it stand for? WAP or WAP? What does it stand for?
Do you really
for?
Want me to tell you?
Yeah. Do you not want to tell me?
No, I'll tell you. But as long as we're okay, yeah. Wet ass pussy.
Okay.
Rana, I have to be honest with you. You probably won't be up for it. I think it's worth a reaction video from you watching this music video.
I mean, people are talking all about it, but what I don't like, I haven't watched it yet, but I don't like seeing all these men criticizing these women for whatever they want to do.
I am with you completely.
So I've been.
It's okay when they say these things, but when women talk about themselves,
CeeLo Green, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
It's actually a very cool video. And in the video, they call it, which I think is dirtier, because they can't say what I just said.
Uh-huh.
They say wet and gushy.
Why can't they say that? Because
I guess
male rappers say terrible things all the time. Well, you know what it is? The truth is a lot of kids love this kind of mainstream pop hip hop music.
Yes.
And so
I guess for the video,
to have a version where it crosses over.
Exactly. The kids bop. The kids bop.
Otherwise you can't win a Kids' Choice Award. If you go on MTV Music Award, if you call it a
great point.
No, so Megan, is the video good? And then Normani is dancing.
Normani dancing like crazy. There was a great video, a mashup
of her doing her dancing. I liked her houndstooth that she was wearing. Her
she looks great.
Shorts. Yeah.
There was a mashup of her doing that dance in the audition room that Dakota Johnson auditions for the troupe in Suspiria, but they put Normani in instead doing that dance. It's so good.
At the Elena Max, what's it called?
Marcos.
Elena Marcos Dance Academy.
Dance Academy or something, yeah. And Kylie Jenner's in it just walking.
She was getting a lot of people didn't like that she was wearing leopard or something. I mean, come on.
Probably.
What are we doing here?
She's not going to, listen, no one's going to get that argument through to you.
Oh, but you're going to tell me that people, well, who are we culturally appropriating if we wear leopard? How can I not wear leopard?
I think they were mad at her because.
Or was that not the issue?
I think it was partly that, but also because like the other cameos were from such enormously talented women.
What is she, the question is, what, like, is
what
she
is
do?
She doing there? Yeah.
Yeah. Who's she?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also just the idea of like Normani's dancing her ass off and Kylie Jenner is just this rich white girl who comes in and walks.
That's who she is.
That's who she is. That's exactly
does.
Who she is.
Yeah. She's made a lot of money just walking.
That's true.
She's made even more money just sitting.
That's true.
Yeah.
And even more money just looking.
Pouting.
Yep.
Yeah. I always feel a little sad when I see the pictures of her when she was younger.
Yeah.
And I hope she's happy. If she's
I hope
happy,
she's happy
I don't
too,
care.
But yeah. I just have a feeling
but she's,
that
it's such a different look.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It is.
Yeah, but there we are.
Well, Rana, what do you think of that? We have done one new episode. I've never even thought of that. We've done one new episode since November and two new episodes since February, March or something? I can't remember when we launched Patreon.
We launched it on February 9th or 10th because we launched it with the Oscars.
So look at that. We've never, ever, ever missed an episode or had a repeat.
Well, then what are these people going to do when we have a nervous breakdown and end up in a mental institution?
Well, I'm two clicks away. Let's be honest.
But are you two clicks closer than you were in November? Or are you the same clicks away
as No. It's the same
always.
Amount of clicks. It's the same amount of clicks. It's been the same amount of clicks since I was 15.
I mean, at some point, we'll have to say, now, if we were in normal times, we would have said, we would have done like they do in Italy and said, we're closed for August. We're going on vacation for August.
Yep. Don't bother.
But because we can't go anywhere, really. That's sort of the, I mean, we can go to the Vineyard and we can go to,
that's
you know.
True.
I don't like to brag too much about the Vineyard because a lot of people can't go anywhere. So I don't like to brag too much that I live in two vacation towns, you know.
Right.
Two gorgeous, picturesque, perfect, absolutely stunning this time of year.
Right.
Falling asleep to the sound of the waves.
Yeah.
And my Rana Reads was a big success.
Certainly
people seem
was,
to have
Rana.
Enjoyed that. So we're going to be launching
that,
that
opinion,
on Patreon.
From start to finish, that was a slam dunk. How could that not have worked and been great?
Well, we're going to launch it on Patreon. More details to come.
Great.
But that is going to be a new a new product for people to enjoy. So if they want to be part of the Ronna Reads, which is where I do sort of my calm app.
Yeah.
And I read you a bedtime story right from my house in Marblehead. You can hear the ocean lapping.
So cozy.
Yeah. And then we sort of curl up and we read a book together and I put tuck you right in and put you to sleep. Now, we got a fabulous email from London. We actually have two London coffee updates.
You're
which
kidding.
Is hysterical. Because with COVID, et cetera, it has taken a while for things to reach other shores.
That's
so
true.
So people are ordering the coffee and it's taking a little time to get there. Just be patient. Bixby assures me that, especially if you get the whole bean, because of the way they vacuum seal it, et cetera, that it stays very fresh until you open the... It's only once you open the bag that coffee... And I'm going to do a video or a phone call or something with Remington where he's going to explain this to everybody. But once you open the bag is where the coffee starts to oxidize and deteriorate.
Sure.
But even that takes something like 35 days. So you can either get one of those... The people, those fellow people that make the gooseneck kettles make those can... make those canisters that can pump the air out of them when you put your coffee in.
Oh, okay, sure.
So it keeps the coffee fresh longer. Or the reason people put coffee in the freezer is because there's less oxygen in a frozen environment.
Got it.
So that's sort of the idea. Is the most you can think of coffee as the opposite of fire. You want to starve it of oxygen.
Ah.
But in any event, we got a fabulous letter here. Good morning from hot and sticky London. And I have been hearing both from this letter writer, from my friends, et cetera, they're having a real heat wave there. And a lot of people don't have air conditioning because it's usually only hot for a week or two a year.
Right. That sucks.
Nothing has satiated me during this rare humid weather over in the UK until I realized that I had the perfect scrumptious,
your favorite.
My scrumptious remedy in my cupboards. Condensed milk making a second appearance in the podcast today.
Oh, right. They're making, please continue.
For a Vietnamese coffee.
That's what they do, yes.
Which I love. Teeming condensed milk, a strong stovetop mocha brewed carriage blend, mocha M-O-K-K-A, which is the Italian stovetop. What you think of is almost looking like a Turkish coffee. You know, in Italy, they
yes.
have those with the black candle and the, yeah, that's a mocha. Mocha brewed carriage house blend that I won for guessing Brian's saucy body part.
Lucky
pat.
You.
Mixed and poured over ice is simply, as the Brits would say, bloody brilliant. My Insta is private, excuse me, so can't tag you, but instead thought I'd send you a little reel and I created that she created showing the process. Thank you for making my mornings brighter with this coffee and days bearable during these pandemic times, picking up from Naomi Ekperi.
Yep.
Even though I am truly scared of the custom charge I will need to pay on my tastes of vanilla order. Shades, dear, shades.
Yeah.
She almost had a perfect email. She almost stuck the landing. That I just made. Lots of love, sperm donor in the carriage house, or Enrica in real life.
Thank you, Enrica / sperm donor. I vaguely remember her writing in before.
What a sweet email. So the other thing is that Ed Kimba from Boy Who Bakes, One
yeah.
Tin Bakes. From,
yes.
From British
Great
Bake
British
Off.
Baking, yeah.
Said that it's so hot over there. He got his kit. We sent him a duo, and he received his via duo. And he said he's working on a Sicilian Granita, which is sort of like a coffee sorbet. So he's working on a Sicilian Granita because he says it's so hot. If it cools them off in Sicily, it'll cool them off in London. And he's using the carriage house blend, I believe, to work on that. But the only thing he said is he was going to add a brioche to it. And I think... I do need to say.
Why?
Right,
that sounds
that
great.
I don't care for brioche.
But it's similar to challah. It's an egg bread, isn't
love
it?
I love a challah, and I'm not fond of a brioche.
What
and
is the difference?
And I hate that people think a burger should be served on a brioche bun. And that's what I'll say. That's how I feel.
I don't strongly disagree with you, but I do softly disagree with you.
Do you ever eat a burger at a restaurant? You ever order a burger?
My very favorite burger.
Yeah.
is usually rare, but if I don't know the place, medium rare. I know. Real. That's when my true animal comes out, is when I have a burger.
Do you take your steak rare?
I take my steak usually medium rare, unless it's at a place, like sometimes in Texas, I'll take it rare because I think they always, at least where my parents are, all those restaurants veer on overdoing it. You know what
so
I mean?
So they know what they're doing. So it's cooked on the outside and red on the inside.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, we've learned quite a bit about you today, haven't we? Between your
allergies. You know what we really have?
And your baby gap experience. And your burger preferences.
And you know what I love about you, Rana? You approach these things as if they're interesting. And it makes me feel so special.
What's not interesting? What is not interesting? I think it's fascinating.
That I worked at the Gap and that I eat a burger once a year.
Like, yeah. Because it's, I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm a naturally curious creature. What can I say?
Sure. No, I'm only flattered.
And this all fills out the tapestry for me that is Brian. What can I say?
That's true.
I think it's all very interesting. Maybe I'm boring everyone to death, but they seem to keep listening.
That's true.
I think it's hysterical. I mean, the baby gap thing is just...
It is a good wrinkle.
And also, these are vignettes. These are vignettes from your life. So I love the Brian character. I love thinking about how Brian spends his time and what happens when he walks into a room. And
whether he's going to faint.
Everything you do is fun. You're fun. It's fun to spend time with you. It's fun to watch you do things. You're a fun character.
Right back at you, Rana.
So the idea of you at a baby gap.
It is crazy.
Or you at a burger joint. Or you at a whatever. It's a whole comedy experience. It's not just... Or you and the bird, or whatever it is. It's not the same as just some guy eating a burger. It's you eating a burger.
Thank you, Rana.
Okay. Now, listen, I have to remind people about the coffee.
AskRanaCoffee.com.
I have to make an admission here.
Hit it.
I had not had the Carriage House blend in a while because I was on a real Shades of Vanilla run.
I just did the opposite, Rana. I was on a Carriage House blend run and then recently got back into Shades of Vanilla.
No, okay, so here we go. So I had not had Carriage House blend. I was on Shades of Vanilla, Shades of Vanilla, Shades of Vanilla, and I was making it cold, and I was making it hot, and I was making it with a shakerana, and I was making it this way and that way. And the other day, I made a Carriage House blend, and I just put it straight into the fridge because something happened where I ran out of time, and I didn't have time to enjoy my hot coffee, and I said, I've got to run. Let me just put this in the fridge, and I'll deal with it later. I had a cup of, and I don't make cold brew, but I make, you know, iced coffee.
Coffee
basically.
And then chili, yeah.
I'm telling you, Brian, I was just feeling like I had been ignoring the Carriage House blend. It's just how I felt. And yeah. We've talked about this. The Carriage House blend's going to have it. It's that kind of a kid.
Yes.
It's just going to have it. And
Shades of Vanilla is going on the stage.
We don't know if she's going to Yale. We don't know if she's going to Northwestern. We don't know if she's never going to college.
That's true.
We just know she burns bright. That's what we know about
Correct.
Her. Correct. And we want the best for her, but she makes us nervous. She really does.
Every second.
A parent.
Exactly. Like she usually lands on her feet, but she'll say something like, okay, here's what's happening. I think now I'm going to be a chemist. I think now I'm going to be a hairstylist. I think now I'm going to be an actor.
When you get a phone call from her you're not expecting and you see it's her on the phone, you just get nervous.
If you have a partner, you put your hand on their arm and you're like, hang on while I answer this.
And then you say, hello.
Hello.
And then you wonder, does she have to be picked up somewhere? Does she, you know, is she even in the state anymore? What's going on?
Completely.
And you always break out your checkbook whenever she asks.
And occasionally Carriage House Blend is like, look, why not me? And it's always like, because you're steady. Like the reason we don't give you quite as much of attention is because you don't need it.
Well, I'll tell you something. I had a cup of iced Carriage House blend with a little half and half in the afternoon. It just as an iced coffee. I had to read something and I thought, let me give myself a little. I don't usually drink coffee that late in the afternoon.
It can be nice though.
I hate to tell you, that coffee is so gorgeous and so delicious.
Yep.
I mean, I actually was shocked. I had completely forgotten.
It's terrific, Rana.
And it's so funny because I feel like it's so rare that I even feel that way about a cup of coffee. I love having a cup of coffee, but to actually think, wow, this is a great cup of coffee. Very rare. Very rare.
It's a nice feeling.
So anyway, askronacoffee.com.
And by the way, now they're giving away something special with the coffee orders.
How do you know?
Because a bird told me that there's like a little goodie now.
Isn't that fun? You know, I saw somebody posted about the goodie today on Instagram.
Apparently there's a goodie that you get.
It's very cute.
And that, yeah, and it better come on my next delivery, Rana.
Well, I don't know anything about your deliveries or your whatever. They're smart to leave it out of the bag. You're getting too many goodies. You're getting two Lobsterman t-shirts.
That's true.
And now whatever comes in the coffee bag, and including the coffee. But yes, there are some cute little sort of cereal box treats, let's say, in the coffee bag, which are really very cute.
So cute.
It comes with some stickers, which is what it comes with.
So if you thought coffee was just for grown-ups, you're wrong.
But that's just where it starts. We got to start bringing some cuteness into this coffee experience.
That's true.
But for people that have already tried the coffee and love it, I just want to remind them, if they subscribe, they can cancel anytime, of course.
And you get $3 off, Rana.
$3 off a bag, which you can get it once a month, once a week, once every 2 weeks. You can do whatever you want. But it's a big savings. And yeah, as I like to say, I'd rather be looking at it than looking for it. So I like to know that I have the coffee around. And if I'm getting it too often, then I'll adjust my membership or whatever you want to call it, subscription. But it's absolutely cancel at any time. So that's important to say, because we're not about handcuffing people to things around here.
No.
Well.
Except Yadvina.
Some of us might be. But we're not about handcuffing people to coffee memberships. Let's put it that way.
No.
Oh, I almost forgot the most important thing, and then we can move on.
Tell me.
I don't have my blue check mark yet, Brian.
Everyone is making me look bad.
Please. You told me you were going to help me get my check mark. And
know,
now
Rana,
here I am having to ask for it again.
I can't believe it.
It makes me feel so low.
I know. I am begging this podcast audience to support me in my endeavor to fulfill a promise made. Please follow at Ask Rana on Instagram. And also, by the way, it's a great Instagram account as far as things like that go.
We do the carousel, which is fabulous.
People love that thing.
I love the carousel.
Tony
has been really kicking it up a notch on the carousel.
It's like, yeah, he is perfection. And by the way, it is like literally when you look at the carousel after the episode, it feels like a photo album that you just experience. You know what I mean? It feels like, oh yeah, that's nice. Oh right, I remember that. It's great.
Yes, it's like flipping through a fun magazine.
And if you flip through it before, it's like, oh my God, exactly. It's like, for more, read on page 50. You know what I mean? Like every image is like, for more, go to the podcast. Because like, you're gonna get the whole table scoop
of contents on an Us magazine.
Completely.
When you have all of this to look forward to.
Completely.
Yeah. So anyway, if you're not following us on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter, please do.
Do it.
Go to our youtube.com/AskRana if you want to see the lobster commercial, the new lobster commercial. But maybe I'll run that at the end of this.
It's star-studded.
It is
star-studded.
And it is featuring very prominently a lot of outtakes from Brian's reel, I would
say. Thank you to all my fans.
Yeah. And of course, we put the full COVID Kiki episode up there. So there's a full length. You can watch us. If you're wondering what it's like to watch us do the podcast, it is a different experience, I have to say.
It is.
And of course, patreon.com/AskRana. They can always watch us do the show there if they want to.
Definitely. $5 gets you into the carriage house and all access membership, and $10 gets you into sauna privileges, which means you get to watch us, and two of those dollars go to
World Central Kitchen this month. We did them before.
We're
doing them again because they're doing incredible work to support all of the
Beirut
emergency workers and the people of Beirut who've been so devastated by that horrible, horrible explosion. So, okay. We have a fabulous guest today, so we should get to this.
I've never met this person officially. I've only sort of passed by her.
I'm so excited to talk to her.
She's so great.
I've been admiring her from afar for quite some time now.
Sure.
And the fact that she even agreed to spend a minute here, I mean, well, we get a very high quality sort of guest around
here. I have to say, we haven't really had a miss.
Yeah. Okay, shall we?
Let's do it.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Wait a minute, Brian. I got so excited we were doing this swap because I love these two.
I can't get enough of them. And I'm you know what? I'm going to put it out there. I think the feeling's mutual, Rana.
Oh, I hope it's true. I absolutely hope it's true. Who are we talking about? Naomi and Andy.
Naomi Ekperigin, Andy Beckerman.
The host of?
Yes. Couples Therapy.
That's the one. The only comedy podcast about relationships featuring some of your favorite comedians, actors, and writers.
Well, let's talk about it. The Kids in the Hall.
Excuse me.
They've been on. Talking about Lorne Michaels. They've been on.
Well, I wouldn't want to miss that.
Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon.
Yeah.
Talking about navigating both the real and fictional relationship.
Excuse me.
They've been on.
And guess who else has been on? About 4 dozen times.
Well, because he's constantly trying to negotiate different relationships.
Brian's up.
That's right.
You're totally in their whack pack. You're an absolute regular.
I am actually in their whack pack.
Love this podcast. And I love our audience. I can't imagine that there are too many people in our audience, because our audience has such fabulous taste, that haven't already discovered how great this show is with these two. But if you haven't, you've got to head right over there.
No kidding, because they discuss everything from black mama drama to co-parenting cats to the time an old man defecated everywhere on a JetBlue flight and blamed their dog.
And that is not Mabel. I'm sorry, it just isn't. That's not the sort of thing Mabel will do.
Mabel's much more dignified than that.
So if you want to love and laugh with the David Bowie and Iman Padme of comedy, download Couples Therapy Podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. New episodes drop every Tuesday, as do ours, so that's sort of easy to remember.
That's true. You could do a double feature.
Love it. Hello, everyone. Rana here.
Brian here.
Brian here as well. And we want to tell you about an amazing space called the Jane Club. Now, if you haven't heard, the Jane Club is a space and a community for women, mothers, caretakers, founded by actress, writer, mother, and host of one of our favorite podcasts.
How did this get made?
That's the one. June Diane Raphael. That's how I say it.
I say Raphael.
I know. I love to say Raphael because it sounds very exotic to me, but it is Raphael. It is Raphael.
Sure. But you're right. Raphael is very exotic.
Yeah. Who is not only an absolutely fabulous comedic actress, writer extraordinaire, but an entrepreneur. Pardon me.
Completely.
We love June Diane. The Jane Club has recently launched in the midst of all of this, which I think is so admirable when people keep pushing forward with everything that's going on. The Connected Jane membership. They're taking their mission to take care of the women who take care of everything online, which I think is fabulous.
Great.
The Connected Jane is an all-inclusive virtual membership to the Jane Club community. Janes from across the country connect, learn, and support one another through conversation, events, content, and their digital platform. And I get the emails from the Jane Club because I happen to be associated. And they do so many fabulous programs. I mean, they have
speakers.
I bet
their emails are also really pretty. I just have a sense because June is that kind of gal.
Fabulous branding. Fabulous branding. The Connected membership includes daily meditations, fitness classes, daily community check-ins, and wine downs, which is so cute, where you can drink wine and talk to other women at night with other Janes. Writing workshops, astrology sessions, children's music classes, talent shows, as well as a book club and teach-ins on justice, race, and gender. They've had some fabulous speakers. The Connected Jane membership is only $50 a month for access to a veritable village of resources.
Wonderful.
Head to janeclub.com and use the code InsiderJaneFF.
InsiderJaneFF.
You better spell that because you think people can't understand me.
To me, it sounded like you said inside a Jane. And I was like, there's no way that could be it.
Why don't you just spell it, Brian? Okay.
InsiderJaneFF.
For $10 off your first month. Brian.
Look.
Okay.
This is someone who I have to tell you,
Rana. The hits keep coming. The hits keep coming on this podcast.
The hits keep coming.
Yeah.
I have to tell you.
Our audience doesn't really deserve this, to be honest with you.
You know, they really don't.
They're not doing enough for us. For
and
us
I'll
be
honest, Rana, I think
them.
You deserve this. I don't think I do. I have admired this person from afar. I've walked the same hallways as her, but we've never actually met. I'm a huge fan. She's by the way, right now she's in Spree, which is on video on demand. Anywhere, iTunes, Amazon.
It's out this minute. It's out this minute. Yeah.
I would say, God, now I'm conflicted. I was going to say, right this minute, go watch it, then come back. But then that's, I don't know. It all gets so complicated, but please watch Spree.
Well, yes, please watch Spree, of course. But don't stop listening to this until you, and then you
never.
Can start watching that. And the other thing, which I wanted to ask her about in 2 seconds as soon as we let it speak, is that she is going to be in Woke this fall with our beloved Lamorne, who did his commercial for Ask Rona Coffee, as he likes to say. I'd like to murder him for calling me Rona. How dare he?
Well,
we're old friends for him to be calling me
Rona. Well,
Rona,
we're in the middle of a virus that also sounds like that.
That's true. So I guess he's saying Rona all day long.
Sashir Zameda is here.
Yes. Hello.
And you're a podcast queen, of course.
Oh, best friends. Of course,
yes.
With Nicole.
Yes.
How are you, Sashir? What's happening?
Oh, nothing at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, things are coming out, which is great. Thankfully, I had a really good year last year for work.
Yeah.
So it looks like I'm working.
But this is the key in Hollywood. Is that
right.
When something comes out, people think you're busy, but it could be that you haven't done anything for 6 months. But we
and
don't
that's
have
exactly
to,
what's happening.
As
sure.
As I like to say, don't give a history, just take a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
People tell you you're doing well. You say, thank you. You don't say, well, I did well last year, but I haven't worked. And, you know,
I know, but that's such a, like, that's such the performer way.
I know, but we're not doing that anymore, Sashia.
No. Mm-mm.
We're just taking
not
compliments.
Not in 2020. We're just taking compliments.
That's right. Taking compliments and taking baths, or at least I am.
And we just learned that Brian's been neti potting since yesterday. He learned how to clear out his
nasal. Do you have sinus issues?
A little bit. And I used to neti pot. But it always hurt my brain.
I know. I feel like I can't get it right. And I feel like I'm doing it wrong.
People do it too vigorously. That's part of the thing. You have to be, and you have to get the proportions right with the saline.
Ooh.
Rinse. Yeah.
I've also heard some people getting like infections from that. Like if you don't clean your pot often enough or something.
Then you're just putting garbage up there, basically.
Well, sure. That's disgusting. You're just shooting bacteria up your sinus cavity. Yeah. And then you could end up with something called a macron, which we don't have to get into. Okay.
What, the president of France?
No, it's multiple antibiotic resistant organisms, basically, in the back of your sinus cavity, which sometimes people can have, and they can cause stomach issues for them because then you get a post nasal drip and you're reinfecting yourself. It's sort of one of the new things in wellness. It's the sort of thing people in my circle would know about, and people in your circles will know about a year. Does that make sense?
Oh, because you're in the...
I'm in the medical community. My husband was a very, very well-known and successful doctor. Sashia.
Well, he's dead. Oh. So I don't. Are you still running in those circles?
Well, wasn't that put in such a kind manner for such a close friend? Huh.
I didn't mean it,
Brian,
like that.
Brian, I hope you never lose anyone close to you.
You know what? I don't think I'll ever get to anyone close.
All right, should we get... That's not why we're here to talk about my personal life or my macons. We're here to talk about other people's advice.
Advice.
Yeah, other people's problems.
By the way, from a professional, not necessarily a professional therapist, but a professional person.
She's a professional something.
I have a profession. Absolutely.
Exactly. That qualifies you on this show.
What day is Woke going to come out? Because I have to say, I want people to watch that trailer again. Yes. It's so fun.
The trailer's amazing. September 9th.
September 9th. Trailer's out. Yeah, I think it's really cool. It's very timely, too, because
unbelievable.
It talks about race and art and people's perception of that art. And yeah, I think people are more down to talk about this kind of stuff, especially this year. So
yeah,
was that,
this can add to the conversation.
I forget, was Woke a graphic novel first or something? Because it has that thing with it. You know, it looks like it could be.
It's based off of a real cartoonist, Keith Knight. And he's from the Bay Area. And so Lamorne is playing Keith Knight with an F. And he gets stopped and frisked in the pilot episode. And then after that, he kind of starts seeing animated things in his world and becomes, quote unquote, woke.
Right. Sees the world in a different way.
Yeah. He's waking up and starting to realize how he wants to view people and you know, what he's putting out in the world and how it's being perceived.
Yeah.
You know what's wild? Really, September 9th seems so far away, and it isn't. It's like around the corner. It's like a couple weeks away.
This year's been really wild because it's like every day feels like a year, and yet the actual year has flown by so fast.
Yeah. And the summer has been so short, it feels.
Yeah.
It is confounding because you're right. Yeah. It does feel like days are going slowly, but then the year is just, like you said, completely flown.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you two finished? I'd like to read this question.
I think so, Rana. Go ahead.
I'm going to read the first question if that's okay with everyone.
Of course.
Dear Rana and Brian and guest, of course, that's Shia today.
Yep.
I heard Rana briefly mention IVs on this week's show, which prompts my question. Feel free to edit my question for brevity. Okay. Well, I don't really have time to do that, so I'll try. I'm not going to do it on the fly. My partner and I are gay men in our 40s, no children of the human variety, dogs and cats at home. We love to travel and take every opportunity to get out of town. COVID has changed everyone's lives in big and small ways, and lack of travel has changed ours for sure. We consider ourselves city gays and have not considered traveling with a travel trailer or RV until now. I've been in a YouTube vortex of videos about Airstreams and fallen hard for a new 2021 International 28-foot model. They are so chic with mid-century vibes and truly seem like a cut above. I would only consider an Airstream, no other trailer or RV. With the vaccine solution to COVID-19 unknown, we go another 6 to 12 months in some kind of modified we could go another 6 to 12 months in some kind of modified quarantine. Buying an Airstream could give us a safer way to travel. I do think we would use the trailer post COVID, which would help to justify the purchase.
A lot of justifying here. Mm-hmm.
As you would imagine, my idea is not unique. I went to the local Airstream dealer and they are completely sold out. Wow. Ordering one would take 1 to 3 months, no negotiating on price. It is a booming seller's market. Should I buy an Airstream or keep daydreaming? Sincerely, hopeful Airstreamer in Dallas. P.S. I love the podcast. You're a dynamic duo. I would also need to buy a new vehicle to tow an Airstream. Did you know Escalades are $100,000?
Who is this person?
Kind of shocking. Kiss, kiss. I don't know who this person is.
Very.
The only option for car was Escalade, and the only Airstream option was a 28-foot Airstream? That's like a semi-truck, right? That's
completely
huge.
I mean, this is a guy who knows what he likes, I guess.
Yeah.
Is what this is. Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
they really, really want an Airstream. They just want us to say, get an Airstream.
That's all. There was no, you were absolutely right. There was no room in there at all for us to be like, well, it's just, they were just like, just well, say
there,
yes.
There were no two sides to the question. There was just one
there was
side
no
to the question. It was really just to let us know what they were planning on doing.
I'm doing this. Do you agree?
Yeah.
The only issue is the 1 to 3 month waiting period. That's their question. Their question is not whether to get the Airstream.
You mean like if they'll want to, I know that it's not available for 1 to 3 months, but if they'll want to do this in 1 to 3 months?
Yeah, that's what they were asking.
Well, really. They're asking themselves
will
that question.
Will it still
question.
Be good? Goodbye. Did you know an Escalade is $100,000? To be honest, I didn't.
So wait, they don't actually have a vehicle to cart this Airstream around?
No, these two are obviously driving, you know, mini Countrymen or whatever those little mini
SUVs
are called.
That is so homophobic, Rama. Rana, I have to tell you, I've never been bashed harder
in my life. Oh, I apologize. Should I have said a BMW electric vehicle?
Oh, Rana, you are hitting me where it hurts.
Why don't they get a Ford to pull their Airstream?
By the way, I know this because I was just looking one day on... Listen, I'm not going to justify my Googles. We've all Googled shit, you know?
Sure.
So I went down a deep rabbit hole of cars that were worth the money. Escalade is, not that I was looking to get an Escalade, but Escalade is at the bottom of the list. They say it is exactly a Suburban. It is just a Suburban. Oh. There's nothing, no added value in it except that you say you have an Escalade.
Well, I'll disagree with that.
Well, Rana, this was from like Car and Driver.
Right. Well, they might be talking about the actual chassis of the vehicle and the way that the car runs. But I have to say, and everyone knows I really don't buy an American car.
Rana.
But I mean, this conversation's already in some kind of stratosphere that we're going to get in big trouble for. And whoever put this question is going to get fired. That's the next thing I want to say. But I have to say the finishes on an Escalade, the inside of the vehicle is much nicer than a Suburban or a Yukon or this or that.
But like $60,000 nicer?
Look, I'm not going to put a number on it. I'm just saying that the cars are not equivalent. That's all. Sashia, what's going on here with this guy? What are we doing with this guy?
I mean, it sounds like they really want it. And if they think they're going to use the Airstream after quarantine anyway, then go ahead and wait 1 to 3 months. Maybe it'll be 1 month and then you'll have it.
28 feet. Where are they packing this thing?
That's a really great question. Where are they from? Do they say?
Dallas.
Oh, Dallas has space.
They've got room.
They have the whole street to themselves. They can just park it on the street.
Completely. They probably own like 50 acres of stuff. They probably live in South Fork.
Their house was $12 and they have so much land.
Well, when you do look at it that way, their house was probably $12. And then this is just the second house. What this is. I don't even know how much.
And if they ever do have kids, put it in the Airstream.
Dante, Google 28-foot Airstream International. Tell me what the price is.
And then Google children Airstream bedroom.
Yeah.
And ventilation.
They'll feel like they have their own home.
Yes. They'll be out of yours.
Yeah. Go visit your kid in the backyard.
Perfect. Have either of you ever traveled by RV?
I was actually
going to
ask
Sashir
that as well. Have you ever done anything like that?
I haven't, no.
Me neither. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had, does that sound remotely interesting to you?
No.
Me neither.
I've actually been watching Tiny House Nation on Netflix, and it's like, they're not Airstreams, but they are tiny homes. It's like, here's a tiny kitchen and a tiny bedroom. And
International starts at $91,900.
Okay, and that's without all the fixings?
I believe that's just the base price, and I'm sure you can add more.
Okay, thank you, Dante. So, Sashia,
would you travel that way?
No, I like...
But tiny houses, you're fascinated by tiny houses.
I am fascinated.
Could you do that?
Where the kitchen pulls out into a bed and then...
Yeah, that whole thing. My man's really interested in it. He's like, we can get a tiny home that, and one's like the living room hangout area. And then another tiny home would be like the kitchen and the bedroom. And I was like, or we can have a full ass house that has all of our stuff in it. Why do I have to go outside to go to a different part of my house?
He wants pods. He wants a compound full of pods.
Like, I don't understand the appeal to this. We could just have a nice house.
And does he want to go like buy some land in Ohio or something and put a bunch of pods on it? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think he also wants like
prefab.
We want like a community of people we know. And I think he's like, everyone has a tiny home. We can bounce back and forth. And I was like, or we can just all like move to the same area.
Right.
Yeah.
And visit each other.
The tiny house really doesn't have to play any part in this.
No.
So there's another version of this, and I bet your boyfriend is interested in this.
Okay.
You can get a Mercedes Sprinter, okay? A Mercedes Sprint. Now, Brian, don't tell me that the Ford Sprint is the same as the Mercedes Sprint. Because I'm not.
I don't even know what you're just talking about.
It's like with a really tall, yeah. like ceiling.
Like they
do on the Housewives.
Not a G-Wagon, but a Sprinter. Yes, on the Housewives when they pick them up all to go somewhere, and sometimes there's a strip, a pole, and a whatever.
Right.
It's basically a limo, but it's a van. Okay.
Great.
So Mercedes makes something called a Sprinter. And you can have that Sprinter modified. And in California, I think it's near you, Brian, there's a brand, I want to say it's called Texino. I could be wrong. T-E-X-I-N-O.
Okay.
Okay? I'll have to look it up. But where they customize these vehicles so that you can drive them all around, and then they have, they don't have, an Airstream would have plumbing and it's that sort mm-hmm. of thing. This would not be that. But they have these modular compartments with beds and coolers and all kinds of things. So you can go road tripping sort of through state parks or whatever it is.
But you still feel like Mission Impossible.
But you're driving a gorgeous Mercedes van, so it's comfortable.
That does sound nice.
And I think that it sounds to me, I don't know who this man is that you're dating, but this sounds like it's right up his alley. Because it's basically a tiny house on wheels. And it has that very Scandi mid-century look.
I love mid-century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that okay. is an idea that I'm throwing out there for our friend in Dallas. But the other thing, the other reason I want to throw that out there is because, look, an Airstream is an absolute paragon of mid-century design. They're gorgeous. There's no question. Mm-hmm. Okay? But for me, this kind of a purchase, you have to think, to me, this is about the reality. This is like people who want five dogs. And then you think about, well, who's going to walk the dog?
Right.
And who's going to feed the dog? And where's the dog going to sleep? And is there going to be dog hair all over my house? And you have to ask yourself the part where this is all a big pain in the ass.
I know. Can't you just rent one?
After 2 nights in an Airstream or even 2 weeks, you're going to be done with that experience. These are not, I know you love to travel, but you're kidding yourself if you think you want to spend the next 12 months going to see the biggest ball of twine in South Dakota or whatever it is. That's fun for 2 weeks in a kitsch way that people are enjoying during COVID, et cetera. But, I mean, if you're state park people, then fine. Maybe this is what you want to do. I don't know.
But it sounds like they're city people.
Yeah,
like,
and I don't
completely.
Know. I don't know where you're going to pack a 28-foot Airstream in a campground. That's another thing to look into. But I really think that this is a fantasy and that you two, why don't you go on an Airstream holiday and rent one for 2 weeks and see how you like that?
I think that's smart.
I think so too.
That should be where they dip their toe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask Sashir a personal question?
Yes.
Have you seen Wrath of Khan?
I haven't.
I was only asking because did you know, Rana, that Sashir's name comes from Star Trek?
Oh, really?
It does, yeah.
Why is it from Star Trek? What's that about?
My parents are watching Star Trek. They're Trekkies.
Okay.
And
the great utopian society that is Star Trek.
I mean, it's
true. Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and Captain Kirk was flirting with the alien princess, as he does, and he gave her a rose, and she goes, oh, we have something like this on my planet, except it's made out of crystal, and it's called Sashir. And they wrote it down and remembered it. And then had me and named me Sashir.
So the Trekkie didn't, like that
you didn't inherit
love of it,
that.
You didn't inherit that.
Only for, I watched Next Generation.
Yeah.
And then I stopped after that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So none of the olds. Did you ever see the episode where your name is mentioned?
I did, yeah. And that episode is called By Any Other Name, which is really fun.
Oh, that is
a rose by any other name is a Sashir.
We just watched Star Trek Wrath of Khan like a month ago. That's why I was asking.
Oh. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It is.
Ooh, yeah, okay. No, it's a fun watch. It's very camp and it's a fun watch. Yeah,
I'll watch.
Should I read the next one, Rana?
Please do.
Hello, Rana, Brian, and guest, Sashir. You both are truly the best. No need to explain, as I'm sure you're aware. I've so enjoyed all your product suggestions and recipes during these strange times. I couldn't think of a better sage than Rana to turn to with this dilemma. Brian can help too, of course. All right. My partner and I's good friends, let's call them Jen and Josh, decided to get married this fall in a small, socially distant wedding. Besides the couple, it will just be us as their witnesses and an officiant. Jen is my old coworker, and we've stayed great friends and valued confidants for one another. Okay. She and Josh actually met at our housewarming party, so we're very happy for them and honored to be a part of their intimate ceremony. Jen has also involved me a lot in her wedding planning process, which I enjoy and I'm happy to help with. My partner and I are also planning a wedding. We've had to push a lot off due to the pandemic, as we'd rather wait to have our big party to celebrate with our families. We were never planning to have a wedding party, but have selected some... We've never had planning to have a wedding party, but have selected some important individuals to carry and hold our huppah. Rana, is the huppah the when you raise the bride and groom up?
No.
Oh.
That's the hora.
Oh, okay.
The huppah is basically just a think of it as like a tent covering.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
You get married in the Jewish religion, Sashia, you get married. You've probably been to a few Jewish weddings, but you get married under a... under a covering, basically. And it can be flowers or it can be, you know, a cloth or, like, you know, probably it comes from in the desert 100 million years ago, people being, you know, underneath.
Shading.
It's an awning, basically.
Okay. Yep. And people hold that?
Well, it's a thing you can do. It can be a thing where you sort of...
are propped up by your family.
Not to be grim, but in the same way that a pallbearer would carry a casket, that you appoint people that are important to you to hold the huppah. But a lot of times people just construct the huppah and nobody holds it. But it's a place of honor.
That's
nice. Yeah.
Okay. We were never planning to have a wedding party, but have selected some important individuals to carry and hold our huppah, our two longtime best friends, my brother, my partner's cousin, and my partner's cousin. I am now feeling guilty that our plans do not involve Jen in any special position in the ceremony. Should I feel this way? Is there another special position I could give Jen? We will have a rabbi, my partner's old family friend, but are not religious or particularly sappy, so I'm trying to steer away from a lot of readings, etc. I know I will feel bad getting her input during the planning process and then leaving her out of the ceremony. Appreciate any insight you may have on this fairly silly dilemma. As always, I know you'll have a classy idea to make everyone feel that they're special to us. All the best, Kay.
Well, I mean, thanks for the pressure.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I don't think that's a silly question. That is a big deal. These are your close friends, and you also have other loved ones that you want involved with the ceremony, but you don't want to make people feel left out. I wonder if there's going to be a rehearsal dinner or something that maybe... they can do a speech there.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because she says she's not having a wedding party, but maybe if they're doing were the rehearsal dinner also where, like, not necessarily your brother or sister gives the speech, but like your friends can talk?
I think so. I think some people do it where it's like, we don't have enough room for everyone to speak on the day. So for other people we want to hear from, you can do it the night before. Mm-hmm. And everyone's still there. Your family and friends are still there. So it is like part of the weekend.
No, people love it. And also the rehearsal dinner is just more fun.
It's
and
so much more fun.
And the people, that speak or are involved at the rehearsal dinner are always more fun than the people. I mean, sometimes you get a good speech on the day, but you always get the fun, loose stuff at the rehearsal dinner. But do they say when their wedding is going to take place?
They don't.
It's also going to be during.
Yeah. It sounds like it's in the planning stages.
Okay. My partner and I are also planning on it. We had to push a lot off due to the pandemic, as we'd rather wait to have our big party to celebrate. So they're also having a small during the pandemic wedding, it sounds like.
Is that what they're saying? I couldn't tell.
Well, we've had to push off a lot due to the pandemic, we'd rather wait to have our big party to celebrate with our family.
Oh, so they're going to do like a small thing now and then do a big thing later.
I guess so. I guess they're doing sort of the exact same thing, and that's the problem. Here's what my instinct tells me. Okay. First of all, you're having your brother and you're having your cousin for the huppah. So those people are family.
Yeah.
So I think you're fine on that. You're out. If that's
two longtime best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I didn't do a very good job of listening, I guess.
No, I that part confused me too, but it's our two
longtime best friends. Oh, my brother and my, okay, four, because there's four corners on the hoopah. Okay. Here's what I think. I think it sounds like the couple are your friends, but Jen is really the closer friend. Is that right? He's good. They are good friends with Jen. And then Jen and Josh met at their house. And now they are all couple friends.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
One thing you could do is, especially because it sounds like the thing you're worried about is the planning part of it. So you could give Jen some kind of an honorary, not a bridesmaid or a maid of honor, but some kind of a, that kind of a role. So that on the day, even though, you know, you want to be careful. You don't want it to feel like she's just a helper. But on the day, maybe she's either holding the rings or she hands you the bouquet or she's the person that's there to help facilitate.
So flower girl?
There you go.
Some version of that, essentially. Where she is, and where she's there as a sort of confidant helper on the day.
She could be like the cigarette girl.
I love that.
It's a smoking wedding.
I love the cigarette. She could wear a pillbox hat and be a cigarette girl. I love that.
A little cart, go table.
But the other thing you could really do, which I think is meaningful enough, is you could have her sign the ketubah. So the ketubah is the marriage contract.
Okay.
Ooh.
And what you do is you have, I think usually two witnesses. I can't remember. Maybe it's two witnesses on each side. It's been so long since I signed my ketubah. But I could go back to the main house and look at it and tell you. But and that is a really, in the Jewish religion anyway, a really special honor to bestow. And it's also, you can pick people that you don't, you know, you don't want them involved in anything else, but they can be. And so they're in the room with you when you sign the ketubah. And you take a picture, and it's very nice, and you can always give them, if you feel like it, a little something to say, thank you so much for being, well, it could be anything. It could be a tiny little bottle of wine with a beautiful ribbon on it, or it could be as big or as small as you want it to be. You could also give her a special bouquet or something like that, that sort of associates her with you. If you're doing anything with flowers, so in the way that you would with a bridesmaid, that kind of thing. But I think these things are so small that it's a gesture. And I don't think, if they feel badly, this is always a strange thing with weddings. If they feel badly to be left out of carrying the chuppah or whatever, and I, by the way, I don't know a woman that wants to carry a chuppah on the day of someone else's wedding. Well, you're wearing a dress or you're wearing whatever, not necessarily a dress, but you've made yourself look nice. Do you want to have to hold your arms over your head for 12
probably
minutes?
Probably outside. You're going to be hot.
Yeah. I don't.
Sweaty. No.
I don't. I mean, it's, you know, definitely not. Leave that to the men. To sweat under this.
What a world we live in, Rana.
Well, honestly, it's not about gender politics. It's about pit stains is what it's about. Fair enough. Let them have the pit stains. But I think that a little gesture is fine because the fact that you're even including them in this intimate ceremony, I think it's reciprocated in the way that they're including you. I really do.
And I like the witness thing because that's what they are providing for their friend's wedding. So it's like tit for tat.
Yeah.
That's true. It seems like an even exchange. And I don't think that I think everyone agrees. I think you do have to do something with her though. I think, I think like probably not doing anything is, especially because she's clearly has a lot of input on your wedding and is helping you with things, like you need something special for her. And it could also be, I don't know if you're doing any, in addition to those things, you could have a special thanks to her. And like, if you're doing any kind of program or handout or whatever.
Well, that's even another thing is that, I mean, they say they're not overly sentimental. They don't want to do readings and things like that, which of course I understand because I think that can be a little corny sometimes, or it can feel like if you don't want to be on the spot for too long, you can feel like you sort of standing there while other people are reading poems to you or whatever. But one thing that you could do is while you have the people gathered, you could take a moment and you could just thank people individually and say, we just wanted to say it was so important that you all be here with us today. We hope to have a larger party at another date, but you've all been such an important part of our lives and our lives as a couple. And, you know, Brian, Sashia, Rob, thank you for being here.
We're all going to be there.
Yeah.
You're have to
all
say
our
this.
Family.
There's one idea.
Oh, boy. Does it involve ruby slippers?
No, but there is an idea that I think.
Oh, let it do. You can let it do your dance mix playlist.
Oh,
that
no.
Could, yeah, that could that could be
that's actually
her
too
place
much pressure.
Of honor.
That is a lot.
I'm
get
totally
her to be
kidding.
The DJ. Get her to be the DJ.
Yeah, put her to work. People love to be put to work at other people's weddings.
Make her drive the limo on the way out or whatever the car.
The Sprinter.
The exactly.
Yes. Rent a Sprinter.
Rent a Sprinter. Let her drive it. I was gonna say. And this is, it doesn't sound like they're taking, honestly, this wedding terribly seriously or religiously. So if you're going to be so cool and chill about it, Kay, I would say this. I think if you really wanted, if you really don't care about what you're about to do and you're really going to disgrace the entire institution like this by just throwing up a tarp and calling it a day and having four people hold it down because you don't want to do anything else but an effort. I would say this. If you don't care about America.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Why not just get her to wear her wedding dress to your wedding while you Ooh. Also wear yours? Because then she'd feel like the bride all over again. And that would be special.
I okay. can't.
I think then they would care. Then all of a sudden... They care a lot.
I don't know where he comes
I'll
up
reconsider.
With this stuff. I really don't. And why don't? And if you do that, why don't you make sure you have one of those glasses of red wine with a cap on it and throw it on a wedding dress when she shows up and say, nobody wears white on my wedding but me.
That's right. Yeah. And then, by the way, and you can also say, oh, listen, cool. You think you think who cares about institutions? And I'll just go to any park and pick up any water bottle and drink out of it. Well, you know what I have to say to you?
What?
Brian.
You know what I have to say to you? Let's fucking ruin your dress after this.
Okay. You know what?
I'm sorry.
This is a
I got,
nice
I
question
suddenly got personal
from
for me
nice
and I don't know
person.
Why.
It's a nice question from a nice person who's trying to do the right thing.
They didn't deserve this.
Okay.
No, I actually think you're right. I think anger was more about me than it was about them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Terrific. I think
but
we need
I don't
to
want to look any further
I think
than
we
that.
Need to move on to our next question. Excuse me.
That's fine.
Okay. I think this is our last question. Is
this
that
is
right?
It.
Yes. Okay. Then we do a giveaway, Sashia. So keep Ooh, that fun. In the back of
yep.
your mind. Yeah. Okay. I'm very worried that asking this question so late will make me a monster. I'm already interested,
yeah.
But I've been carrying this around and IDK if I should do anything ever about it. You know what? Don't send me IDK. Don't do it. All right.
Why?
Because I was born after 2000, before 2001, Brian. That's
All
why.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know. Don't make me do the work. If you can't do the work of typing it out, don't make me do the work of saying it. And I don't know if I should do anything about it.
Maybe they're rushed. They had to quickly type this out.
This might be an emergency question, Ron.
Yeah.
They're already late asking the question.
I already know they're not an emergency. That's
exactly.
Seven paragraphs long. Just wait. I went to grad school in a new city and made a lot of incredible friends. While we all spent a lot of time together, we never really got to the point that we talked seriously about personal matters. One of my friends is a gay man, early to mid-30s, who had a complicated relationship with his dad. I don't know any details. He never mentioned it really, and I didn't pry. Flash forward a few years, and we graduated. A few weeks after graduation, I was on Facebook and saw that I had a, quote, hidden message. Do you know what this is?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember these. It was, they did away with them. It was only temporary, but like if someone wasn't your friend and they messaged you, it would go to something, a little drop down called hidden messages.
Oh.
Because they weren't. You didn't add, you didn't, exactly.
But so you'd have to know to, but you could look at them and they wouldn't know if you had seen them.
Well, they would if you clicked on the message.
Yeah, well, that's no fun.
I know. It's sort of, that's why it didn't last very long, but it was for like a little bit.
Yeah. You know, when someone who isn't your friend messages you and it goes into this limbo mailbox that I check one, like once a year, there was this message in there. The message was from, I'm guessing, this man's stepmother, mother, telling me his dad wanted so badly to come to graduation, but knew that my friend might not want him there. He didn't want to reach out to him directly in case it would upset him. And she asked something like, would I pass the message along to my friend? By the time I saw it, it was too late for him to come to graduation. Putting aside that it seemed so inappropriate for her to reach out to me without ever meeting me or knowing my relationship with my friend, I felt like getting that message was a, like, breach from my friend who had not chosen to share this difficult relationship with me. I felt like it would be enraging and embarrassing to my friend to bring it up. Enraging is a strong word. I also can't imagine I'm the only one that got his email, but I don't know because I never told anyone. It's been 2+ years and I haven't ever mentioned it. We also saw each other very few times since graduation pre-COVID, but I remember it often and feel guilty for not saying anything. What do I do? Sincerely, stuck in the middle.
Ooh, that is rough.
And we don't know the timeline here, like how long ago this was. It's
this
sort
was
of unclear.
2 years ago. Oh, over two, years ago. Over 2 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, it isn't this person's responsibility to reunite their friend with their father. Like, the father absolutely should have reached out to the kid or the mother. You know, there's other ways to communicate within the family than through a friend on through the stepmom, through a friend on Facebook. So I don't think this person should feel bad for not getting the message in time to get the graduation stuff settled.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Did they say that? So they don't really talk now, or they do kind of talk every once in a while?
They've
now?
Seen each other very few times since graduation pre-COVID. So it just sounds like it's a friend that you're not in constant touch with, but probably someone you really like a lot from grad school and remember, you know, have very fond feelings for it. They were close in grad school.
Interesting.
There's also the added complication. Oh, sorry, go on, Brian.
I was going to say, I'm not saying this is the right thing to do. I would never tell that person that I got that message. I don't know how additive that would be for anyone's life, necessarily. And I think Sashir is right that, like, it's such a crazy way to go to get that message across that I have to assume, and could be wrong, but I have to assume that the mother or stepmother did reach out to him or the father did reach out to him.
I would
and
hope.
At some point he told them no. Yeah. Otherwise, why would they go to this back channel, you know?
And that's a lot of responsibility to put on another student.
Completely. Who, like, is suddenly going to get... And also, listen, if I didn't get along with my parents, I wouldn't want that fuel added to the fire of it for me. Because I think I would be pissed that they reached out to my friend.
So this guy has... Okay. The friend with the difficult relationship with the parents has never discussed it with our letter writer. Our letter writer knows there's something there because he knows. Through conversations or whatever. Does your family come to graduation? Oh, I don't know. My mother's coming or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The ways in which people telegraph that there are parts of their lives where things are complicated, but that it's really not something that they want to talk to you about. That they talk to other people about it or they talk to nobody about it. I was watching a few minutes of First Man. Have you seen that?
No.
With Ryan Gosling.
Oh, like a space movie?
Right? Yeah. I hadn't seen the whole thing. And I saw it was the Damien Chazelle movie. And it just kind of never, I think it was either last year that it was in for Oscar contention or the year before. And it sort of never went anywhere. But it's actually remarkable. And there's a scene where Ryan Gosling has been to a funeral. And he's standing outside in his backyard, and he's playing Neil Armstrong, and Neil Armstrong lost a child at a very young age, and Neil Armstrong is a very tough guy. Not tough, but buttoned up.
Fearless, yeah.
And he is standing in his backyard looking at the moon or whatever, and he has fled from this funeral. And the neighbor, who's also an astronaut or whatever, also in the program, comes over and starts talking to him. And he turns to him and he says, if I wanted to talk to someone, would I be standing alone in my backyard? Get out of here, basically. Mm. If I wanted to talk to anyone about how I'm feeling right now, would I be standing alone in my backyard? I want to stand alone in my backyard, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a little too long of a detour, but you should see the movie. It's terrific. Yeah. But the point is that there are things that people don't want to share with other people, and that your friendship can exist on other levels. So in many ways, what you've done already is you have respected your friend because your friend has never brought this up with you. I do think, for me, this is always tricky because there is a bit of the rom-com, Victorian novel, ships passing in the night. What if he didn't receive this message? And this was the turning point in their lives where the father wanted to reach out to him. And this was going to be the moment where they were going to reunite. And I didn't pass the message. And now the lovers will never find each other. And, you know, that sort of thing. Obviously not the lovers, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is his father. And I think you're both right that if the father can't get it together to make the... If a Facebook, a not returned Facebook message from a stranger is enough to keep the father from really making an overture to his son, that this problem is so much bigger than the guilt that you're feeling over having not told your friend.
Totally.
Basically.
Yeah.
I do think there's a slight problem, which is that this guy's carrying this guilt around. And he
Get rid of it. There's nothing to feel guilty about, I think. There's really nothing to feel guilty about.
Well,
it's complicated, though.
You haven't done anything wrong, but it's just the sort of thing where, I mean, I don't know. It's so odd because it could affect your friendship. This guy sounds like he's very private. Yeah. And so it could affect your friendship where you're basically saying, I know something about you that you didn't, that I didn't intend to know, and that, you know, it's almost like telling someone that someone's cheating on them.
Where, but I would want to know that.
Yeah. Where you want to be told or you don't want to be told. I don't, you know, it's not quite that extreme, but it's that feeling of, I know something intimate to your life and I probably should have told you. But if this father hasn't reached out 10 other ways by now.
What were you saying, Sushi?
Oh, I was going to say, we don't know how this person would react to this information. They might, this could bring these friends together, like closer, because now it's opening up a new part of their life to talk about if they want to talk about. It may affect the relationship with the parent, maybe not. What's more likely is like, oh, I have another friend I can talk to about.
That's true.
This tumultuous relationship that I'm ashamed of, or like don't, you know, scared to talk to people because they don't understand.
I also think there's probably nothing wrong, if this is really weighing on you, to send a very simple email that says, you know, this is something I've been wanting to tell you to get off my chest. I probably should have told you a long time ago, but the truth is you're very private and you've never shared anything with me about this part of your life. And I didn't want to pry or make you feel embarrassed in any way.
But does it feel too dramatic? Like, should it be like they're talking anyway? And then within the conversation, it's like,
I don't know if
this weird thing happened. Yeah, I know. I guess they don't really talk that much.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could call them up.
That's true. Or you could just be like, yeah, I got this a couple years ago. I never wanted to share it with you because I just didn't think it was any of my business. But funny enough, it's sort of weighing on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just
like, here's the message.
I just
I don't
feel
know. I don't I know feel, you're right though.
sort of say, I just feel badly for never passing this on. But the truth is, I didn't want to invade your privacy, or I didn't feel it was my place. And I just wanted to let you know, right around graduation, I got this message. I didn't see it until weeks later, so it was over anyway. But I would feel remiss if I didn't at least tell you that they had tried to reach out to you in this way. And we don't have to discuss this if you don't want to, but I'm here if you do want to discuss it. But I just felt like maybe it was something that you would want to know.
Yeah, I like that. And I think it's important for the person writing in to know whether they say something or not, they were never in the wrong. They totally. Didn't do anything
Great
wrong.
Great point. Yep.
And you were, and also you were never going to change the trajectory of their relationship.
Yeah.
In fact, what I said before doesn't apply. This is not the person waiting at the train station that someone never told you was at the train station. This isn't that moment. Even though it feels like that. Yes. No, truly. Truly, though.
This no, I know what you mean.
The moment that was going to change the course of their lives, of their relationship. I mean, it's so damaged and dark and crazy that they reached out to you. Who knows how they even knew who you were, other than looking at Facebook profiles, instead of just the father being able to say to the son, or leaving him a letter or whatever, saying, I know you don't want me at your graduation. I don't think you want me at your graduation. I'm so proud of you. I wish we had a relationship. Could I come and stand in the back? Whatever. I mean, that's got nothing to do with you. So it also is completely fine to do nothing about this.
The message that this person received, obviously, from the stepmom, obviously was not, like, he immediately, he noticed that it was wrong. Do you know what I mean? So I know we didn't get the exact language here, but because on paper it doesn't, I mean, it's a weird thing to do, but it's not necessarily a highly offensive thing to do. It's just strange and maybe wrong.
It's also a very selfish thing to do.
It completely is, but this writer made it sound like it was offensive. And so I think it probably was, but I do want, is it too late for me to do a 180 on my advice?
It's never too late. And I do, and I want to address the word enraging in a minute also, but
I just wanted to say that I think you're both right. I think that probably if this is weighing on you, it is nothing that is right. What you said, when you said that this was not ever the person who wrote in's fault. And also just like Ron, if this is weighing on you, get it off your chest. It's the stakes are actually fairly low for you. Yeah. I mean, this is someone you don't really speak to that often.
Yeah.
So the worst case scenario is they're not going to scream at you. You don't have that relationship anymore. They might just say, they wouldn't even say mind your own business. They really wouldn't. It doesn't sound like it's like that. They would just
they also just might not reply to your email.
Right.
Just
but
so
I think
you
if
know.
It's weighing on you, it's, you're right. You're both right. It's perfectly
appropriate. You don't know what chamber this is locked in for that person. But I also think it is totally fine to say nothing. I think probably at the time, if you had noticed it at the time, there is also a version of advice that would have happened in that moment where you would have said, don't touch it. Mm-hmm. Don't get involved. This is between them. If this father's really serious, he's going to find a way to connect to his son. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with you. And if anything, I think the way you were behaving probably, even if it was on a very subliminal level, was to protect your friend.
Yeah.
And it really would have, and I'm glad you didn't see the message till after graduation, because this could have ruined those really important weeks around graduation for your friend. But you can't tell me there isn't a family member that they tried to reach out through. Or
a favorite cousin, whatever it is.
Anybody. Yeah. You're a stranger.
Yeah.
So, can I ask Sashir another personal question?
Oh my God.
Is it Star Trek related?
No. If you had a friend who you found out, no one else, who you found out was being cheated on, would you tell your friend?
Yes.
You would.
And
you would want that back.
I would 100%. Yeah, I don't know. I love transparency. And if it's something that I think could inform my friend's decision on how they want to proceed, I will do that. I won't do that expecting a reaction. Like, I wouldn't recommend anyone tell their friend that their partner's cheating.
To split up or anything.
To make them split up. Yeah, because it's like that's within their own relationship.
Right.
They might have that information and be like, okay, this means we need to work on a relationship. And now we can talk about that more openly. Or this means I need to have a clean break because this person is disrespecting me. Yeah. That's their decision. But I don't want to hold the information and not say anything and then still be this person's friend when I know there, something could be done about the thing that I saw.
You're coming from a truly non-judgmental place, but just of a place of love and support for the friend.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would absolutely want that.
I think it's very tough for people to genuinely come from that place often. So
yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Give that info. They expect
you to behave a certain way.
Right. Yeah. If they don't tell you, they want to see what you're going to do and they judge what you're going to do.
Yeah. And well, look, now I'm in my 30s and I've seen so many iterations of friends' relationships, of my relationship. And I'm like, you know what? You got to deal with it however you deal with it. There's no right or wrong way to do anything. And people grow and change. And yeah, you just got to feel it out for yourself. So far be it for me to tell you what to do.
Yeah. But you would want to know and you would tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I just want to
address. You want to know why she has that sort of empathy, Rana?
Because she's from another planet. She's made of crystal.
I'm out of this world.
She's a princess. Exactly. She's a princess from another planet.
No, well, she was raised clearly by empaths. I mean, these are people. I do think that I'm not kidding. Yeah. The Trekkies do have that
Your
sort of thing.
Your parents do sound lovely.
They are lovely. Yeah.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a little brother.
Nice.
He's 7 years younger than me, so I was like an only child for 7 years.
And his name's Henry?
My dad's name is Henry.
Oh, is
did
it?
You know that?
No, that's so funny. But
why did you guess Henry? That's so funny.
Just because Tashir is such an exotic name, I thought somebody in the family would be that the second child would be called Henry or something like that.
Yeah, that's really crazy. My dad's name is Henry.
It's wild, Rana.
What can I say? I'm a witch. Yeah. I am a little bit of
a witch. A medium being like, I feel a P name in this side of the audience.
A little bit.
Completely.
I do have a little bit of that. I'm a shtetl
medium.
Well,
then, Rana, I would get the hell out of Boston because they do not like witches there. I would run as fast as possible.
Right next door, Brian. We're only
Salem's a minute away.
We're only 3 miles from where they hung them all. Yeah.
That's right.
But anyway, I want to hit this word enraging for just a second.
Yeah. Go for it.
And you didn't ask us about this, and you didn't ask us about you, and you didn't ask us anything like that. But I felt like it would be enraging and embarrassing to my friend to bring it up. I just want you to take a little look at what that says about how you would feel and what that's about, if that makes any sense. Because you don't really know anything. I mean, unless you have a friend who's maybe I'm being presumptuous and the friend has a short fuse or the friend is touchy or whatever.
The father was really bad, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Though it sounds like he doesn't know too much about how that relationship played out there. But so maybe I'm actually being the one, maybe I'm reading too much into it. And you know your friend well enough to know that he's a passionate person and that this would drive him crazy or whatever. But I just think you should be careful about writing stories where you decide how the other person is going to react. And I think that was a point that Sashia was making, actually, which is you don't know what they're going to do with this information. And it sort of speaks to what we were just talking about, which is you can decide whether you want to deliver the information or not deliver the information and what that means, what role you want to play in that. But you shouldn't really decide how the other person's going to behave so that you can either exfiltrate yourself from the situation or, you know, so that you can excuse yourself from what you did or you didn't
do.
You should just sort of deal with the facts instead of writing stories about what would happen.
I feel like my therapist would also be like, you can't control other people's reactions to things. And even if they do get enraged, they get enraged. But that's not your responsibility to make sure they do or don't.
Yeah.
They're allowed to have any and all the reactions they have to that situation.
But you also should consider your friend's feelings. And if you think that And if you do think that at this point, bringing this up 2 years later serves no real purpose other than to expunge yourself of these feelings.
Have you ever heard the phrase, don't kill the messenger? Mm-hmm. Send a singing telegram and have that person.
Well, you know, Brian's on Cameo now. So you
me?
Can go-
No, I'm not.
Brian's on Cameo. Go
That's
to cameo.com/Brian.
That is not true.
And you can get Brian to do a
All I'm saying
telegram.
Is you can hire someone to deliver this message in a cheerful way.
Steve Gutenberg's on Cameo.
Oh my God.
Too, so you can get
this
him.
Specific message sung to you. That's like so many layers of crazy.
Hey, friend, I've got a little message for you.
Exactly. Oh, God, I'm crying. Exactly.
Picture fine. A scene. It's 2 years ago. Graduation. Yes.
Or hire a mime troupe if that's too loud.
You're that's in your cap funny. And gown, and we're drinking wine coolers on the lawn. Boom, an email comes in.
Yeah. Exactly.
You could write a whole play around it, a whole one-act play around it.
Yeah, in 2 more years, you'll put up a play explaining this whole situation.
Going to be fabulous.
Everything. And you know what? We just wrote your script for you, so I'd like some royalties.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Okay.
Sashir, we've reached the end of another history-making episode.
We absolutely have. There's no question about it. So what we're going to do, I think, for our giveaway this week is...
Oh, so Sashir, every episode we give away to one of the people who wrote in a little prize, and it's just, we decide who that is, and it can be anyone that we... It just comes from the heart. There are no real criteria, just whoever you think should get the gift. So are we giving it... Should I recap, Rana?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what the gift is so you can decide.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We're going to do, first of all, we're going to give away Harry's Lobsters t-shirt, Harry's Home Delivered Lobsters t-shirt.
Okay.
My boyfriend, well, he's not my boyfriend.
Wow.
He's my.
You have been throwing that
I know,
around.
I know. I casually started seeing someone who catches lobsters on the shore by Ronna's house.
Oh, who? This person exists?
Just so you know, it's not clear if he's ever caught a lobster.
Ronna, stop saying that.
The only thing we know is he's trying to get a lobster business off the ground.
He's
That's
trying to get
know.
A lobster business off the ground.
He's financing it in a very industrious way.
But the problem is...
By selling t-shirts
we haven't
for a
been
business
able,
that doesn't exist.
We haven't been able to deliver any lobsters yet, so we're selling t-shirts first, and then the lobsters for the lobster delivery will come later.
He also lost his boat.
It's an all-new business plan. That no one's really ever tried.
I've never seen him before. The shirts See? Before the product.
See?
Okay.
Harry's Home Delivered Lobsters.
We've made a shirt.
So I'm
and
trying
it's just
to be
a lobster? Is it a cooked lobster?
No.
No, definitely not.
We haven't really gotten that far yet. So I think.
What it really is, it's a bucket of water in the back of a pickup truck. And then they come to your house and they say, you got your water? Have you got your water ready?
Do you want to hear something really messed up, Sashir? Ronna won't even pay for the shipping for this project.
Wow.
She said that should be Harry's responsibility.
Right, oh, because it's not my business and also not my business. And then in addition to not being my business, it's not my business.
That
tomato,
makes
tomato.
Tomato, tomato. Exactly. Strawberry, strawberry.
That's right.
So we're going to give a Harry's Home Delivered Lobster t-shirt. Mm-hmm. But we're also, because it's the end of summer, and we were talking about how summer's going so quickly, we're going to do a McConnell's gift certificate for people so we can
the
ship
ice cream.
Some Ooh, gorgeous McConnell's ice
that's
cream.
Great.
A couple of pints of McConnell's ice cream too.
That sounds fantastic.
To somebody for their little personal COVID kiki that they can have at their house.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah. So should we give that to Wanna Buy an Airstream?
Oh, yeah.
Or What Do We Do With Jen? Or... the Facebook Stuck in the Middle. Who deserves the ice cream and the t-shirt? Airstream, Jen, Facebook. I can tell you who does not deserve.
Airstream?
Yeah. Because they could buy the entire business of McConnell's ice
they
cream.
Should
it
take,
sounds like they're doing just fine.
They should take their new $200,000 rig and drive it straight to Santa Barbara. And if they did that, then they could try the Santa Barbara strawberry, which they only have locally. So, and I have to say, that listener, that letter writer, I think understands the value of that kind of a trip. That they would plan the whole trip around going to eat Barbara Streisand's favorite ice cream.
Can I tell my
source.
Story? Can I tell my story quickly?
Oh.
Sashir.
Nothing stopped you before.
Barbara Streisand has her assistant.
Yes.
Drive every single day to Santa Barbara to get her one pint of ice cream because she doesn't want to keep more than that in her house. But she loves their ice cream. So every day, her assistant
drives. And they only have it in Santa Barbara.
And they only have this particular flavor in Santa Barbara. Yeah.
I have no problem with that whatsoever. What's the difference? So she's going to spend an hour and a half driving around Malibu, going to CVS and Ralph's and this place and that place. Well, why she can take a beautiful drive to Santa Barbara, pick up the ice cream and drive back.
I guess, but couldn't the assistant also have like a freezer of her own that she could just stock them up in?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I hope the assistant's listening because that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's way smarter.
And then what you could do is you could go for a hike during that hour.
I was going to say you have 2 free hours.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah.
Boy, you're very crafty, Brian. That's a good idea. If Barbara Streisand's assistant is listening, or if a friend of Barbara Streisand's assistant is listening, let us know if the message gets through. The other thing, by the way, is did you see that Carrie Fisher's assistant wrote a fake book?
I know him. A Star Is Born. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know anyone that's read it yet?
Yes. It's very good. I know personal stories from him about Carrie Fisher that I can't share, but that are so fantastic. It just makes you love her more. They're so fantastic and
it's
wild.
It's supposed to be fun, that book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's supposed to be great.
Okay, so who's our winner?
Okay, what do you think, Sashir?
I think the person with the Facebook guilt, maybe they can call their friend and have a social distance hang, and each of them can have a pint in the park and dish it out.
I don't mind that one bit.
Yeah.
I am with you. I think it should be the Facebook. What do you think,
Ryan? Yeah.
I agree, mostly because I think actually it's a very sensitive letter.
Yes.
And it's a person that is carrying around. I really don't think this letter was just about our letter writer. I mean, despite what I said about the enraging thing on the end, I really think it was about a person who tries to go through this world being a good friend to people, giving people a chance and wanting to do right by other people. Yeah. And that can be a real burden when you're sensitive and when you care about other people. And I think that it's a tough position to be in. There's a lot of people that never would have given it another thought or would have seen the email, the message, and deleted it and thought, I'm not dealing with this. I'm graduating this week, excuse me, to make sure that my outfit's in order and then all the parties I'm going to. This is none of my business. Delete.
The fall from grace. That a graduate, a graduate is very different a week before graduation than they are a week after graduation. Huge. That personality shifts fast.
Yeah.
You're into confident to what the hell is going on.
Yeah. Because you're right back into the pool with people standing over, of course.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But I think you sound like a lovely person and that maybe you can release yourself from a little bit of this guilt. And and I have to say, that's a perfect summer look to me, though. A Harry's Lobster t-shirt and then a little McConnell's ice cream. I mean, that's a very New England, even though the ice cream's from Santa Barbara, it's a very New England.
Rana.
These t-shirts look like Jaws shirts. They're fabulous. Yeah.
Listen.
Okay.
Sashir Zameda. Spree is out now. iTunes, Amazon, all the things. Please watch it.
Woke is going to be out in 10 minutes.
In a few weeks, couple weeks, really.
Yeah.
And Sashir.
Sashir, do you have a blue check mark on Instagram? I'm just curious.
I do.
Here we go.
Because I don't.
I'm so sorry.
I told Rana, go ahead.
And I didn't even know how embarrassing it was. And Brian brought it to my attention a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no.
And now I don't know what to do. I'm trying to get these listeners to follow Ask Rana. They don't want to do it. A couple of them are listening. A couple of them
How about follow Ask Rana at the same time? You could follow The Sheer Truth. That's a double header. There you go.
Yeah.
Are you The Sheer Truth everywhere?
Yes, on Twitter, on Instagram.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Well, this is what I want to say. Sashir, if you wouldn't, and this is ultimately the ask, could you buy us some followers on Ask Rana Instagram?
Okay, you know what? This is really not. Please, Sashir, that's
we
not.
We should ask that. The Airstream guy, if he would do that.
Yeah.
Honestly,
Rana? He's looking to burn some cash.
You need to reply to him right now.
Tell him we're looking to put $191,000 into our social media budget.
And then we'll give him one of the t-shirts signed by Harry.
I like that idea. And Sashia, did you get the coffee? We sent you some coffee, or did it not arrive yet?
I don't think it got here yet.
Okay.
It will come.
So you've got Ask Rana Coffee on the way. We hope you love it. Let us know what you think.
Thank you so much.
Now, Sashia, at the very end of the show, we read a cliffhanger that we don't answer here.
I completely forgot.
We just read it, and Ron and I answer it on the Patreon. You can stick around to hear it, or you also don't have to. It's totally up to you.
I'll hear it.
Oh, great. Okay. Perfect. Should I read it, Ron, or would you like to?
I think you should, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Love Brian's striped shirt today, Sashia?
I do.
So cute.
I actually bought so much beach stuff that looks like that shirt. I bought a little pop-up beach tent that has blue and white stripes, and I bought
so great.
Some lounge sand chairs.
I love that look.
I love a blue and white
I'm
stripe.
Set up.
It's a classic.
Good.
And it goes perfectly with that Ask Rana Kiss Kiss mug. Look at that.
Yeah.
Isn't that cute?
That's very cute.
Hop in my gondola. Okay.
I really hadn't thought of that. That's very funny.
It's just hop in. Dear Ron and Brian.
You can be the gondolier to my Peggy Guggenheim. How does that sound?
Sounds great, Ron.
She had her own personal gondolier.
But what she didn't have was her own personal pedicurist.
Yes.
Well, my cleaning lady does my nails.
Rana.
Okay.
Dear Rana and Brian.
She's from Ukraine, Sashia. It's the same thing.
Did you ever go there, Sashia? Yeah.
I haven't.
No, me neither.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't.
No. Let's just say I haven't been back since they chased me out 164 years ago. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Dear Ron and Brian, last fall, I moved in with my current roommate. She and I share several friends and have known each other for around 10 years, but have never been very close. But after living together for nearly a year, including the extra time spent together in quarantine, I'd say we're good friends.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, she confessed to me that she is, and she put quotes on this, in love with a fitness trainer she started seeing in April, virtually at the time. While sharing, she also mentioned this guy, quote, woke up the day after his wedding 5 years ago and realized he made a mistake and is now in the process of separating from his wife. They also have a toddler as well. At the time, I said I thought it was dangerous to fall for someone who lied to his wife for 5 years, and she never mentioned it again. Recently, I learned from one of our mutual friends that she's planning on moving in with him, and they're talking about marriage. Would this concern you if it were your friend, and if so, would you say anything? I'm moving out in a month, so I'm not concerned about preserving a living situation, but I have the same concerns I expressed to her the first time. Our mutual says, don't touch it. But I'd love your thoughts on this. Thank you for everything, including and especially Shades of Vanilla Coffee, which is, excuse me, exquisite. Kiss, kiss. Patreon.com/AskRana for that. That's a pretty good one.
I have to say, I'm sorry Sashia won't be with us for that because
I know. Based
on the last answer, I'm certain that you do.
Yeah.
Sashia, this has been an absolute pleasure.
So fun.
Yes, so fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on and continued success on everything that you're touching, which is fabulous.
Yes.
Thank you.
What a fall you have lined up.
Yes.
Amazing.
Thank you.
All right. Kiss, kiss.
Do you miss sexy lobster dinners at exclusive restaurants on the shore? I know I do. Hi, I'm Brian Safi, an exclusive celebrity. All the way from Massachusetts Bay, the Star Island of New England, comes a farm-to-table lobster experience from an actual lobsterman and his celebrity friend, me. The lobsterman starts every morning before the sun comes up, while I work out in case I have to be on camera. First things first, get the lobsters on set. These are made with 100% organic hemlock wood. And the bait is wild caught. Order Harry's Lobsters for home delivery. Now serving Marblehead and other parts of Massachusetts that don't matter as much as Marblehead. And soon to be shipping nationwide and on movie sets everywhere. I should know.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.